This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 859. I am Lisa Sheps, and after a long and prolonged absence, we are lucky enough to have back in the studio our phenomenal co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live as we always do internationally at KOOP.org.
Hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
It's not where you start, it's where you finish. It's not how you go, it's how you land.
It is Wednesday, January 14th, 2026. On the show today, we have Scriptworks and Hyde Park Theater and the something annual Frontera Fest Short Fringe. And then later, we're going to be talking to the Stage Austin in their production of Titus Andronicus. And of course, we have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, London, Houston, and the Gulf of Mexico. Stick with us. The Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, I said it.
I heard you.
You know what? You know what, Nicole?
What, Lisa?
The opinions expressed on Offstage on the Air are not necessarily those of the co-op, its board of directors, volunteers, or underwriters. It's just my opinion.
Just yours.
And so I can say the Gulf of Mexico.
You go right ahead.
Okay. Hey.
I think it still says it in some places, too.
Yeah, you know, I was very disappointed. I thought I went to check Google Maps.
And oh, no, that changed right away.
It changed. And I was, yeah. I thought Google would be better than that. But anyway, they're not. Welcome back. I've missed you so incredibly much.
Hello. I wasn't. You've made it sound like I was gone forever.
You're gone forever.
I was gone during the holidays.
You were gone. I have not seen you since 2025.
I was gone last week because I was in the Houston for the Beauty and the Beast.
Houston. Yeah. How was the Beauty and the Beast? Was it beautiful or
beastly? It was
beastly?
The Beauty and the Beastly and the whole things happening.
Were you their guest? Like
I was.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Were you the belle of the ball?
I was.
Did you actually watch the show?
No, I didn't.
Okay, yeah.
I went out to dinner with some work people.
Houston has good food.
Yeah, I had
I would
really,
say this I'm, is a I'm, hot take, but I believe it's better than Austin food.
I mean, it depends. There's good Just restaurants in both, but yeah, we did. I had a really good dinner that night.
I'm going to say so.
But I had a work dinner to go to, so.
Yeah, there you go. You're an important person. Let's introduce the folks that are in here with us, shall we?
Yes.
Okay. New to the show, never been on the show before, Mr. Ken Webster of Hyde Park Theater.
Hello. Thanks
Hi, Ken. Welcome. I haven't seen you since 2025 either.
That's true.
Seems like a year. And then we have Camden Factor. Hi, Camden.
How are we doing? Yeah, we're doing good.
And Sophia Spraniel.
Yep, that's me.
Yeah,
Hi.
Well, welcome. So that song was from the musical Seesaw, and the song was called, that we played, actually, that song was what the one that we came in, was It's Not Where You Start, It's Where You Finish from Seesaw. Did you recognize the person singing that song?
I did not. It sounded familiar, but I couldn't offhand.
Anybody?
It would have been like...
Sounded familiar, but I can't place it.
Yeah, he
Tell
spent
us,
some time
Lisa.
At University of Houston.
Tommy Toon.
It's Tommy Toon.
Oh, I know why you're doing all
it's
this
Tommy
now.
It's Tommy Toon.
Ron Morris Junior College.
Pardon me?
He spent some time at Ron Morris Junior College.
So I did not realize, here's an interesting tidbit that involves me, which is what I care about most. Tommy Toon and I had the same exact dance teacher.
Wow.
Patsy Swayze.
Yeah. And also Miss Glenda and Miss Peggy with the Allegro with the tapping, because I had the same with them for the tap.
I had Patsy for everything. Well, Patsy and her entourage.
Entourage.
And I actually ran into Patsy years later. She moved to L.A. and was at the the Debbie Reynolds dance studio. She had a studio. She had her studio there.
Oh, that's funny.
So that's cool. Anyway, Tommy Toon's archives are going to be housed at the University of Houston.
Yes, which makes sense and the perfect place for them to be.
It does, because he got a Master's of Fine Arts in 1964.
Yes.
From there.
He's also a Houstonian, so I mean...
He is a Houstonian, although he was born in Wichita Falls.
It's okay. He was raised in Houston. Yeah. He's a Houstonian.
He also went to the University of Texas, University of Houston, and as Ken so brilliantly said, Lon Morris College. I don't know where Lon Morris College is.
It's not too far from Tyler.
Tyler.
He was a Tyler Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's cool. So, yeah. So he has a long-standing career starting in 1974 with his first show on Broadway called Seesaw.
Seesaw.
He was also, and Michael Bennett, I believe, directed that. He was a protege of Michael Bennett.
Yes.
And it was interesting, as I was looking through things, I saw something around Wayne Cilento, and I clicked his name on Wikipedia, and I forgot the show it was talking about, but it was, oh, was it Seesaw? It was Seesaw. He was also in Seesaw, Wayne Cilento. And it said it was Wayne Cilento's Broadway debut, and I went, that can't be. Chorus Line was, but it wasn't, because Chorus Line was after Seesaw.
Yeah, I was like, Chorus Line was after Seesaw, yeah. And I think that's how Wayne was involved with Chorus Line, was from the Seesaw.
Well, he was, yeah, well, he was part of the
Tommy Tune toured a really good version of My One and Only.
Yep.
And it rotated between Twiggy and between Stephanie Zimbalist.
Yeah,
which were two very interesting. But that movie version of Sandy Wilson's The Boyfriend, which I think is such a great little musical, and it's a wacky take on it in the movie, like how Superstar is wacky and a little different. But The Boyfriend with Tommy Tune and Twiggy is...
Yeah. Interesting, he was talking about... So talking at some point, he was talking about the loss of his husband, although I don't think they were married. It was before marriage. And loss of a very, very dear friend during AIDS. And then he mentioned a woman who was the love of his life, but he never said who it was, but people think it was Twiggy.
Hmm.
That wouldn't surprise me, yeah. To be honest, yeah. With you.
So he did Grand Hotel, My One and Only, Cloud Nine, which I worked on.
Didn't he direct Best Little Whorehouse?
He did, Best Little Whorehouse, yep. That was his first directing credit on Broadway. Yeah, Whorehouse.
I was just talking about that as I was sitting in ABC Eyewitness News last week and talking about Marvin Zindler and Tommy Tune directing. That's so wild.
Yep.
Full circle.
So amazing. I know I've told this story on the show before, so I'm probably not going to do it, but I did audition for Tommy Tune.
Oh, gosh. Now that you say that, it does ring a bell.
Because Murray Gitlin, who was the production stage manager on Cloud Nine.
Didn't you have to audition to perform?
Wanted me to be his assistant. And in order to do it, I had to be an understudy. And
yes.
I auditioned and I blew the audition and didn't get the job. Got it later as a replacement, but didn't get the job.
Now I remember you telling me
this
story.
So he was very nice, but he did not like what I did.
He has a wonderful smile.
Yeah.
He's very tall. And I'm very short.
He is very tall.
So it makes him seem even taller.
So what was I going to say? Yeah, so it's interesting
archives.
That his archives are going to be there. Thousands and thousands of things.
Well, he's done thousands and thousands of things. Mm-hmm. So we should say the Regional High School Musical Theater Awards, it's eligible for the Jimmys in Houston, mm-hmm. is named after.
Yeah, it's the Tommy Tune Awards.
Like we have the Heller
and
Awards
it's done at
here
the
in
Hobby
Austin,
Center.
But they have the Tommy Tune Awards there in the Houston.
Correcto. You are correct.
I should give a nod to that for him,
yep.
You know.
Yep. So
the Jimmys are important.
Yep. So I read a onstage blog post that made me think about it might be fun to have this conversation. Has anybody here, and feel free to take the fifth, left a show at intermission?
Yes.
Yeah.
When I've done it, it's usually in other cities or other countries.
But Camden?
I've never.
Never.
I don't think
out.
I ever have.
Okay, I have. But this blog was, would you ever walk out of a Broadway show at intermission? And I have learned that, like, locally, I don't walk out of shows because people notice when you mm-hmm. leave. Although I have left at intermission at Bass Concert Hall on the Broadway shows.
Wow.
There are some that I'm not, that I am not interested in staying for the second act. And it's an interesting thing. It's some people think it's rude in general. And other people think that it's, if you value your own time and if you feel like it's something that you don't want to spend another hour and a half doing, that you have every right to leave. How do y'all feel?
I mean, can you name names?
Like who?
Of what show?
Of what did I walk out
yeah.
of? Actually, interestingly, I walked out of a show that I did not like. Oh. I left at intermission during the play That Goes Wrong.
Oh,
I liked it, but it really had. I was very, very, very tired, and it had. To me, it seemed to have one joke that went through it, and I didn't think I needed to see it on the second act. I was told later that the second act has a lot of more different stuff, and I probably yeah. should have stayed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't. So that's the only one that I'll mention because I liked it. But there are things that I just have not liked.
I will say, I saw a production of Sunset Boulevard. Mm-hmm. I think it was on the West End in London. But there's that.
You lived there.
I did live there. I thought I just said that. Four to 15. So I moved to Austin about a year ago. But yeah, when I lived in London, I'd go to the West End all the time. Like, I'd see all the shows. They used to have half price if you were under a certain age. So it was
like me.
It was of course.
Yeah, okay. That's kind of funny.
Yeah. But there's a production of Sunset Boulevard, and in that production they go outside, and I think I was pretty may have been right when it opened. But I went outside during intermission to go catch them as they were filming the outside part. I was unsuccessful, but still. I don't know if that counts as walking out in intermission, but that's my
attempt. I get it. No, that doesn't count.
Oh.
Because you were still engaged in the show.
Exactly, exactly.
And you missed it. So you also missed the second act?
No, I was able to get back in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, totally doesn't count.
The only time I've missed a show or multiple shows was when I was in high school attending the Texas Thespians Festival. And you're... If you don't know what that is, which maybe some people don't, it's where like hundreds and hundreds, probably 1,000 theater kids are crammed into one location. And we were at the Gaylord Resort in Grapevine.
In Grapevine, yeah. Yes. Been there many, many times.
Yes. And you are there like for a ridiculous amount of time. Yeah. You are so tired. Maybe you have no food. And there was this one production of, I think it was Sleepy Hollow. I think everyone was asleep in the audience, but there would be the sporadic like scream of a character on stage and everyone would like jolt awake.
Oh, that's funny.
I just don't know. I think that show is just interesting. The first
well, it's
act
got
is
sleepy
so,
in the name,
so, long.
So.
Exactly. I know. What did you expect? So, yeah.
So for those people that don't know, tell people what the Thespian Society is.
So in high school, you have the opportunity to become a thespian. It's basically how I worked at my school was if you got in a certain amount of points, you would be inducted into thespians. So that would be doing shows at your high school, you know, contributing to community events through theater. And so then once you are inducted, you can choose a performance piece. Like, for example, if you're an actor, you can do monologues, you can do scenes, you can do songs, duets, group scenes, all sorts of things. And there's also room for tech people as well, and you go and you compete and get a certain score, and then you move on to the national level in Indiana.
So I still have my thespian card from 1972. Wow.
Do you?
Uh-huh. And the way my school did it, I don't believe there probably was a national, but we were not involved in it. The way that you got inducted into the thespians in my school was it was a great cabal. Everybody was in on it. So you were told not everybody gets in. You had to audition to get in. Mm-hmm. And not everybody gets in, and you have and they scare you and say how prepared you have to be. And then you go after hours and you do a monologue. And I chose the monologue that I always did. And as soon as I started the monologue, everybody in the audience, all the other thespians, just started laughing and snickering and making and they were just so rude. And it was I got, as soon as I finished the monologue, I stormed out of there, and they all came and I yelled at them, and it turns out it's all a big joke. Everybody gets in.
Oh.
and they are purposely rude to you, and I was so angry, and I cussed at the our drama teacher who said, wow, it's just a joke. And then, of course, I said, well, it's not very funny. But then the next year, boy, I was the worst one. Anyway, thespians, it's a lovely thing. Well, I get, we have to move on because we haven't
Nothing really... about that was nice.
No, there was nothing nice about it.
No.
And it was so wrong on so many levels.
Yeah,
and
I wish you had a face. My face was over here like,
yeah,
WTH.
It is absolutely wrong, and I certainly hope they don't do that anymore. But it was a different time back then, wasn't it?
Oh yes.
Ken?
Really?
We did have an opening on Broadway, the first one of the year.
Dun 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 dun. Dun. Tell us about it, Lisa.
Tracy Letts, Bug. Was starring Carrie Coon, who's like, it's like the year of Carrie Coon.
It is the year. Carrie Coon is kind of everywhere. Can and do, you do love an alliterate name.
I do.
I know.
Who doesn't?
So
yeah, like Tracy Letts, also a literate name, who is Carrie Coon's husband. Right? Am I right?
Oh, yes.
Yes, I think
yeah,
I'm right.
Now yeah. that you say that.
Now, when I said it out loud, I went, what, is that true?
No, it made me stop and go, wait, huh? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it is her Broadway debut. And this was done 20 years ago at the Barrow Street Theater. So it's not it's Broadway debut, but it is a revival of sorts. And I'm just going to read the first paragraph of Jason Zinnemann's review in the New York Times, which it's been made a New York Times critics pick. He says, what does it feel to fall down a rabbit hole? Considering the number of people obsessed with cabals and cover-ups, there must be some comfort in conspiracy theories. A secret plot is less scary than the unknown. Listen to enough podcasts and you can tell that the paranoid mindset can also evoke a sense of connection, some solace in chaotic and lonely world. No play this century dramatizes this better, and with much twisted horror as Bug, Tracy Letts' nerve-rattling shocker, whose eerily topical Broadway production stars a ferocious Carrie Coon as a waitress getting red-pilled. Yeah, crazy. It's currently, her co-star is named Namir Smallwood. 20 years ago, Michael Shannon played this role. And evidently they play very, very different.
Yeah.
This is a Manhattan Theater Club production at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater. And, I guess I didn't say this. So the Did They Like It aggregator had 14 reviews. 9 were positive. 5 were middle of the road. And guess how many were negative?
0.
Wow. Because y'all are good at math.
Yeah, Broadway needs some 0 negative reviews. Like, I feel like...
The rest have been relatively
They're all
good.
Positive.
That's true.
And yeah. It's like the musicals, but they're also the ones not recouping. Straight yeah. plays are making money back, getting positive reviews.
Cabaret lost
100%.
Yeah. So the interesting thing is here, you know, when you talk about this show premiering 20 years ago, right now in our current environment here in this country, we are rife with conspiracy theories. I mean, it is like... everybody's sort of operating under that. So that wasn't the case 20 years ago. So in the review, he says, American life is so awash with fevered conspiracy theories. The play's core dramatic question, how could someone fall for this madness, seems more urgent than ever.
Yep.
But it's true.
It was still going on 20 years ago. It wasn't in the forefront.
Well,
social
the
media
forefront.
Has... Yeah. The climate also has, but social media was able to give another platform to it that
100%.
Here's
what I don't understand. This is a play. So it's a, he says that they say it's filled with jump scares. I don't know how jump scares can work in the theater. Anybody have a thought
often,
on that?
Well, I was certainly jump scared watching Sleepy Hollow. So
are you jump scared for that?
Oh yes. Like jolting up. Like
really?
Really?
Okay.
Well, I was
sleeping. Well, half of you were jump scared. The other half were sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, that makes me feel good. I guess
there's the bad ex-boyfriend who shows up and is he's
yes.
in her apartment when she comes out of the shower.
Oh, I guess Wait Until Dark had. Oh well, no. You know what? I've never seen a stage play, but the movie had a jump scare.
I think certain productions are very capable of having jump scares. Like they'll black out the whole room. Except for the exit signs. But they'll black out the whole room and then turn it on. And you see a person getting murdered on stage. And then they black it out again.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure that happened in both the West End and Broadway production of Sunset. And potentially Oklahoma? I'm not sure. Not
Oh, boy, there's a lot of jump scares in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
The Dream Ballet in specific.
Don't
Don't even get me there.
musical that
there's also an extended nude scene.
John, yes.
Yeah. Do you know the show? Have you seen it?
I was in it. Capital T did it at Hyde Park.
Bug.
Wow.
A few years ago.
Who did you play?
I played the crack smoking scientist.
Okay.
The army scientist.
Cool. Barry and Lee. You didn't say anything.
Oh, and I missed the lengthy nude scene because my character, spoiler, my character had been killed. And
you were gone.
Did Capital T have a nude scene? And
they did.
How long ago was this?
2007, 2008.
Oh, I was here. I missed that. I like nude scenes.
You should go see Equus or like A Little Life or something. Yeah. They're long gone, but.
Yeah. No, I'm not really actually crazy about the nude scenes.
I know.
Who was in it? Who got nude?
Joey Hood.
Oh, okay. He's cute.
Katie DeBuies, who's a great actor in D.C. area now.
Yeah. Okay. That's amazing. And did y'all get good notices?
We did. Good. But I was the only person in the building who did not see the nude scene every night. I was face down dead.
Oh, story of my life. Other critics for Bug said, Shayna Russell of Entertainment Weekly said, Bug is absorbing. Kuhn delivers captivating performance, well matched by Smallwood, who offers an uneasy blend of menace and charm. Chicago Tribune, Chris Jones.
Menace, that's a great word. Does not get used enough in reviews.
Oh, I use it all the time. Chris Jones of the Chicago Tribune said the design from Takeshi Kata is intensifying hyper-realistic and comes with a surprise sting in its tail, not to mention some gorgeous vistas from the great Chicago lighting designer Heather Gilbert, who sends shafts of light into a play's motel room of the paranoid.
I think it's Takeshi.
Okay, good. Takeshi. I'm sorry. He'll call me. And then finally... the critic from Variety said, though it is a story set 30 years ago, it shows how easily people succumb to cult-like behavior and conspiratorial thinking. So, sounds good. But Kuhn got raves across the board.
She's amazing.
Okay. We don't have time for anything else. You can find all of the articles that we didn't talk about at offstageonair.com. And one of the things, there's a show called The Amazing Sex Life of Rabbits, and sometimes a story just catches me because of the title, and that was one of them. You can see what that's all about. But I did want to talk about, before we go, a new musical called 10 Brave Seconds. And this is being done in Utah, at the Pioneer Theater Company, which is part of the University of Utah. And I just like the idea of new world premiere musicals being done in smaller venues and calling attention to them. And, you know, sometimes we were just talking about, we did one, an original musical at Ground Floor Theater that I think hasn't gotten the attention it deserves in its afterlife after Ground Floor Theater. So I love that they did it, and you can hear and see little pieces of it at offstageonair.com. But music and lyrics are by Will Van Dyke. Book and lyrics are by Jeff Talbot, and it's directed by Ellie Heyman, choreographed by Reed Lupow. It does have some Broadway actors in it. I went and looked up, tried to get the see how big this theater is, and by looking at their 990, but they are part of the university, so they don't actually make money themselves. So couldn't tell, but it's evidently a well-resourced theater.
That tends to happen when you're in the universities.
It does. I got a really tinge of joy at first when I first looked up. There is a Pioneer Theater that has a budget under $100,000, and I said, "All right, they're a little underdog." And it wasn't. That was a different Pioneer Theater in a different state. So they have...
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. They have released some of the music for people to hear. And you can go onto their website. There's a link at offstageonair.com.
I'm
going to
play a little ditty from
A little ditty. This is a song called Making Up the Rules from 10 Brave Seconds. Oh,
sounds like you and me. They wrote a song for
it
you and me.
It does. And this the show actually involves high school. So it's youthful show.
Okay.
Here we go.
Ask Robert Heinlein.
My blood just started.
We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
It is us.
We could have talked forever, as usual.
Well, but you and I don't. Shiro and Shep, Sheps and Shiro. Talking is not a problem.
Oh, let's reintroduce our guests for the actual reason they're here. And that is
they're going to talk about something.
And Hyde Park Theaters. What year is this, Ken?
This is the 31st annual.
31.
Annual Frontera Fest Short Fringe. Playing now at Hyde Park Theater through February 14th. Very exciting time. And we have the artistic director of Hyde Park Theater. And I guess do you have an official title for Frontera Fest?
Well, I'm the emergency last minute fill-in.
And the best curtain speech in Austin.
Yes, yes.
Ken Webster. Thanks. Welcome back.
Thanks for having us on the show.
And then we have the playwright and director from one of the shows, Camden Factor.
Yeah.
Hi, Camden.
Hey.
And that show is called He Said, She Said. And then Sophia Spaniel.
Yes.
Who is one of the actors in the show.
Yes.
Well, okay. First of all, Ken, tell us about Frontera Fest.
What is this Frontera Fest?
Well, I guess we all have a pretty good idea, but is there anything? What's
there could
going
be someone new
year?
Listening? Yeah.
Well, as always, it's one of Austin's great arts incubators. A lot of writers, actors, theater companies got their start doing shows at Frontera Fest. The Rude Mechanicals did some of their earliest work. Lisa D'Amore, Pulitzer finalist, did some of her earliest work. But every year, it's a great mixture of people who've been doing arts in Austin forever and bright newcomers. I've been involved in all 31 in Camden. This is Camden's first Frontera Fest.
Yep.
First one. Congratulations.
It's terrifying.
Mazel tov. Don't be terrified. It's a wonderful, as I love using the word incubator. It is a great vehicle.
I was excited about that word being used too. We're on sync today.
You're gonna get a little gold check mark for that. It is such a great opportunity for playwrights to try out new work, for actors to
be seen
to try, and it's all done in such a wonderful way. Tell people in as succinctly as you possibly can how it works. I just physics of it is exciting.
Sure. The initial one in 1993, there were 40 shows, but over the years it's grown to 80 shows. We take
80 shows.
The first 80
Did you
shows.
Ever think you were going to double what you started with?
None.
Right?
Well, I was involved in the first one, but I wasn't running the joint in those days. It started with just 40. You get 80 participants. They get one guaranteed performance on a Tuesday through Friday. Panelists in the audience select shows that perform for best of the week. More panelists and more audiences select the shows for the best of the fest. And it's 4 weeks. And then the fifth and final week is the best of the festival. And so we start with 80 shows and we end up with 15 by the end.
I do have a slight bone to pick with you.
Yes.
You make it difficult for those of us casting shows in February.
Yes.
I have so many people, and we always have a show in February. So many people in there say, well, it's good, except I'm doing Frontera Fest, and if I get best of the week, I will not be able to participate in the show that night.
Right. Or if I can make best of the week.
So you make my life difficult, Ken Webster.
Oh, we're sorry.
So just change it for Lisa Sheffs, please. Okay, Ken Webster.
Camden Factor, this is your first year here. Was it your idea to bring your show to Frontera Fest?
Well, okay. So this is going to sound a little weird, but I'm 16.
Nothing sounds weird.
I'm 16 now, and I've actually been writing this play since I was about 12.
Okay.
So I went on this camp, and I met it's about sexual assault and sexual violence within teen relationships, and I met concerning amount of, young girls as young as 12, or younger, who'd, experience this kind of thing. And I started writing my show, which was originally Andrew Tate quotes and direct quotes from this website called Everyone's Invited, which was a pretty new thing at the time. It wasn't a big thing in America, but it was where teenagers would post their stories.
Sure.
And it was basically a verbatim play at that point. And once I moved to Austin, I found out about Frontera Fest, which just provided a great opportunity for people like me who have nowhere to put on their show and just want to put something out into the world. So yeah, I kind of transformed it into less of a verbatim play and more of a like dialogue between, it's a four person cast, so it's pretty small. So it's a dialogue between these three boys and then this other girl telling her story. Like, and you kind of find out what happened at around the same time on both sides of the stage.
Great. Well, I love the idea of hearing about your story, but I want to just back up a little bit and give you a lot of credit. It takes a lot of chutzpah to at 16 years old to make the step to bring your play in to, you know, a very competitive environment in a lot of ways. So I think that that is amazing. And it shows a lot of, what's the word I'm trying to come up? Well, I'll just say chutzpah, but
moxie.
You got moxie. So congratulations.
We need to bring
that
back, the usage of moxie more often. You got moxie.
Yeah, honestly, it's terrifying. Like, we're like T minus a few days from the show. It's like the first time it's going on.
When is your performance?
Mine's this Friday.
This Friday.
Yep.
Okay, great. And do you know where you are in the lineup? How many shows per evening?
Five per evening.
Five shows.
There are some nights where there are only four.
And that's when you come in and do your monologue.
we do a minimum of four.
Okay.
But usually it's five.
Do you know where you are in the lineup on Friday?
I'm quite sure I'm second, but it hasn't been confirmed yet.
Okay, amazing. So you are not only the playwright, but you're also directing this.
Yeah.
You've taken on double duty.
Yeah, director is a strong word. The actors have really come through. Like, honestly, I do not know what I'd do without them. They're far more experienced than I am. A UT-based cast, it was just like, they're all so helpful. It's like wonderful.
Well, I do believe, as a director myself, I do believe the director's biggest job is editing anyway. So okay. So we use our cast. And Sophia, you are one of the four actors in the play.
Yes.
And you are a UT student.
Yes, I am.
And so I just learned this very moment that the other three cast members are also UT students.
Yes. I believe the guys are more closely tied to each other. They are all theater majors or acting related majors.
And you are not a theater major.
I am not. I'm an English major, although I have acted my whole life. I love it dearly. And I want to still be involved in it.
You know what's interesting?
What's interesting?
You're an English major. I speak English.
Wow.
It's true.
We have a lot in common.
We do. Well, that's amazing. So any chance that once you leave UT, you might audition in a more professional environment?
You know, that is definitely something I'm considering. Right now I'm at a point in my life where I'm just considering all aspects, anything. I'm actually really into media studies and radio, television, film. So that is something I'm exploring right now. Theater is always going to be a part of my life, whether it's professional or community for fun, you know. I love it. So.
Excellent.
I love it.
Now, I understand y'all are going to do a monologue from this piece.
Yes.
Yep.
Do y'all want to set it up in any way, shape, or form?
I can just read it here for you guys. So in the play, my character records a series of audio messages to her boyfriend, which she deletes one by one. And this is interspersed with her boyfriend discussing the situation with two of his friends with wildly different perspectives while they're playing video games.
Okay, wonderful. This is Sophia Espanyol doing a monologue from the play He Said, She Said, as part of Frontera Fest at Hyde Park Theater.
How could I let myself think that this was my fault? No, no, there is a reason I feel like this, and it's not me, it's not imaginary. I am not overreacting, and I didn't make it up in my head. It happened, and it's your fault. And it happened so fast, and I thought you were going to stop. I trusted you. And I thought you were going to stop. But I should have known after what every single person told me about you. And you know what? There is no coming back from this. This is not something sorry can fix. The first time someone told me that something like this happened to them, I thought it was so sad and terrible, shocking. But Now, I'm not even that surprised it happened to me. And they say girls never call the boy out on it because they're afraid that no one would believe her, that it would just be a matter of he said, she said. But when they do believe her, no one is even that surprised because it happens all the time. There's no reason to care. And if it is so normal, am I making too big a deal about this? Wait, is this just a part of life for girls that no one told me about? A painful reality that we all learn at a certain point? A secret that we all keep?
Wow. That is tough to listen to, but important for folks to hear. So thank you for sharing that. That's amazing. It sounds like an amazing piece, and very courageous for you to write it and direct it and show it out there to the world. We're almost out of time. Ken, you're also doing a Mi Caso Es Tu Teatro this year.
Yes, Saturday, February 7th, one day only, Mi Caso Es Tu Teatro. It's theater pieces in a non-traditional space, and it's this little subdivision where we had the festival last year. Mm-hmm. And you can find out all about the Frontera Fest on the website, HydeParkTheater.org. It talks about Mi Caso and also the descriptions and performance order for the shows this week. We don't know the performance order until everybody does their tech rehearsals.
But, right. So this is the first week. Right now?
Yes, we started last night.
You started last night. How did it go last night?
It went very well. The curtain speech was very well received.
As always.
By Christy and myself. Lena Dietrich jokes that's the best part of the festival, but it's not true.
Sometimes.
It won't be true on Friday.
It won't be true on Friday. Well, as you say, that if you're not everybody is going to relate to every single show, but if you just wait 20 minutes, you get another chance to get something else.
Yes, yes.
Awesome. Well, great. So it's happening starting now through the 14th. Mm-hmm. And where can folks go to get more information? Give them that web address.
HydeParkTheater.org.
Great. Well, Ken and Camden and Sophia, thank you so much for coming on the
show.
Thank you very much
for
having us.
Yes, thank you.
We really appreciate it. That was Ken Webster, Camden Factor, and Sophia Spaniel, all of ScriptWorks and Hyde Park Theater's Frontera Fest Short Fringe, happening now through February 14th, Valentine's Day. That's what I was trying to come up with just then. For more information, you may visit HydeParkTheater.org. And this little ditty is called Festival, and it is from Gutenberg. And this is, what's his name?
I can't think of what's his name, but yes.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
For today is no.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. I just love Frontera Fest. Have you gone recently?
Recently, no.
Yeah.
As that's a key
It's hard to go.
Recently.
Every time I want to go, it's sold out.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of idea if you're interested in going, early
stuff.
Is better. Let's just jump through into the local stuff so we can get to our next guest. But I do want to say kind of one thing that Filigree Theater is having their gold and silver gala on January 24th. At the Caswell House.
Bum, bum, bum.
That's the house of Jim and Frida Caswell. Yes.
Mm. Okay. Fantastic.
Okay, that's it. Anyway, it's a gala to celebrate their sixth season in their current seventh season. So they always have really good stuff. So you can get information. I got most of this information at atxtheater.org or now playing Austin. .org, one of those two places. So you ready to go through the local calendar?
Sure.
All right. You want to start? You want me to start?
You start.
Okay, I'll start because we're about to hear from them. It is the Stage Austin, and they've got Titus Andronicus, and they're playing through the 25th.
Oh, that's my papa's birthday.
Papa.
Georgetown Palace Theater has Frozen playing through February 1st.
You're so cold.
Brr.
Different stages has
Let
A Man
go,
of the
Lisa.
People. Oh, okay. A Man of the People plays now through the 24th.
The Vortex has The Wolf You Feed playing tomorrow the 15th through February 7th.
Broadway in Austin next week has the show Six. I will be there on Tuesday night. It's playing January 20th through the 25th.
And opening up here next week is Zach Theater with Murder on the Orient Express, playing the 21st of January through March 1st.
Written by Agatha Christie.
It's by Agatha Christie, adapted by Ken Ludwig.
Yep.
I love Poirot. Here I love Agatha.
Here are the auditions that we have here. Lots
you have
of
a lot of auditions.
We do. Bottle Alley Theater has got the Poison Circus. Auditions are on the 26th of this month. Gilbert and Sullivan are auditioning for Patience on January 31st.
Wouldn't that be great if you could audition for Patience just to get it?
I can.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh.
I get it. Communications by Captivation has Wild Card Peter Pan. Those auditions are on February 1st, Zach Theater is auditioning for Come From Away.
On 25th anniversary of that, of 9/11 this year.
Right. On February 18th, City Theater is having general auditions. That's happening on the 18th and 19th of this month. And the Lake Travis Musical Theater, which I did not know existed until today.
Dun, dun, dun. That
Wendy Zavalata is here going, have you heard of it before?
I've heard of it, but yeah.
Okay. She said she's heard of it. She's not near a microphone.
But what are they doing?
Hold on. I just need to say, how did we not know about this company that's been around since 2007?
Oh.
I know. Anyway, they are auditioning for Into the Woods. And those auditions are on March 7th. So you've got time. If you're going to audition for Into the Woods from something from Into the Woods, you better start working on it now because that's hard music.
Touche.
Gaslight Baker Theater has The Trail to Oregon. On the 23rd and 24th of this month. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Are you going to tell me about what happened today
in theater history? I am.
Oh.
We have several openings.
Okay.
That we had in this week. Last week, we had just a couple. But, you know, there's nothing during the holidays, obviously.
Whoa. So what opened?
And there's very few this season. We've only had one opening so far. Mm-hmm. Anyway. But back in 1999, Fosse opened.
Oh, that was good.
Yep. And then in 2016, Noises Off. That has to be a revival.
Yeah, it was a revival.
Yep. And then in 2002, Mostly Sondheim.
I remember that, too.
Interestingly enough, the music from that is Mostly Sondheim.
No way.
It's true.
I wouldn't have expected that going in.
I got to turn the mics on in the rest of the house because people are laughing.
People are laughing.
In 1993, a production of Anna Christie, also a revival, obviously. And in 1948, I wanted to look this up, but I didn't. A play called Strange Bedfellows.
I know that. We know that play. It's
Do
been
we?
Done again. Yes.
It was at the Marasco Theater.
Yeah. Who did it start? Someone big.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, we've talked about this before.
Birthdays. Faye Dunaway.
Faye.
Kathleen Chalfant.
Uh-huh.
Julia Murnay. Your friend Holland Taylor.
I was about to say, if you don't have Holland on that list today, we're going to have a conversation there, but you do.
And one.
Happy birthday, Holland.
Happy birthday, Holland. And we should say she's been a guest on this show more than twice.
Yeah, she's been a guest a few times.
Yep.
She's been running around town because she's filming Step Brothers with Woody. And
she's running around town? Is she here in town now?
I think she's gone again right now. But she's been popping in and out over the last few months. She's Step Brothers with McConaughey and Woody Harrelson.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Who knew? Well, okay. They need to come on the show. We'll get them on the show. I thought I had a Wikipedia page to help me remember this, but it is also the birthday of Trevor Nunn, who did just about every musical there is to have done, including Chess. What else? I don't have my list.
Oh, my
Lots
gosh.
Of stuff.
Like, yeah.
Lots of stuff. Anyway, one thing he did, and I chose this for you.
Tell me.
Starlight Express.
I know, which just announced its closing date in London.
I know. So we're going to listen to Starlight
Express. Let me tell
you
something. Roller skates on stage with that music back in the 80s, it was happening.
You know what? We mentioned Starlight Express every time on the show, and you say the same thing every time. We're going to just keep doing it.
I know it's a musical about trains, but
it's a drinking game.
I'm just telling you.
Okay. Well, let's listen to One Rock and Roll Too Many.
That's fine.
From Starlight Express. We'll be right back. We are back. You are still listening to Offstage and On the Air here on Co-op Radio 91.7 on your FM dial or buttons, whatever it is.
Yeah, and you're still listening to Lisa and Nicole.
Yeah, the Nicole and Lisa, Shiro and Sheps. You can't get rid of us.
No.
People have tried.
Doesn't work.
Can't do it.
Nope.
We're still here. We've been here 16 and a half years.
I know.
It is our 17th year.
You're
going
to have to peel us away from the microphone.
It's crazy. So let's introduce our guest here from the stage, Austin. And there, it's a brand new world premiere show, never been done before, called Titus Andronicus by a new playwright that I cannot remember his name. We have the director of the show, Brian Hensley. Hi,
hello.
Brian. We have Aaron Alexander.
Hello.
And are you playing Aaron?
I am playing Aaron.
Crazy. Okay. All right, I thought that was
good
a title.
Isn't that fun when it happens like that?
Allison Perenka.
Hello.
And Timothy McKinney.
Hello.
Wonderful. And then we have, not on mic, but over there is Wendy Zavaleta. How are you?
Hello.
She is waving and yelling, which doesn't work unless you're at a microphone and have a camera pointed at you.
They may hear, away, away, away.
So, Brian... this new show, Titus Andronicus. what's it about? Who wrote it?
It's by William Shakespeare, written about 400 years ago. It was his first tragedy. And it is about...
And it is about as tragic as they come.
Yeah, it's about as tragic as they get. It's about a lot of things. There's some heavy things that we talk about and themes that we explore in this show. Not the least to say is classism, racism, power, revenge, greed, all of that.
Murder.
Just, you know, humanity, basically, is what it's all about.
Really? Yeah. Certainly now. Yeah, days here. Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Good old life.
Well, that's great. And did you bring the idea of doing Titus to the stage, Austin?
Yeah, they let me know they had an opening for their January show, and I said, well, I have an idea to do a modern kind of swing, an immersive kind of swing on Titus Andronicus, and incorporate a few different classical styles of theater, but mostly in a modern sense.
So this is an immersive show, and this will make Nicole very happy.
Yeah.
You have a splash zone.
Yes. So,
I love a blood budget.
Yes,
I love a splash zone. But a blood budget, a fire budget, and a water budget. Woo! That's a good time.
Yes. We on our budget, we had a line item for blood. We're about to exceed, but
excellent.
It always happens.
So the good thing about Shakespeare being in the public domain, we are able to take all sorts of liberties. So you've obviously set this in current time.
More current look. Think still like, you'll see ideas or inspirations of Roman clothing and things like that, or simple set designs that come away with like what we're trying to look for. But, yeah, very, very kind of basic. My idea was to keep the focus on the amazing actors I have, which you'll get to hear in a second. And really hone in on the story and the words as opposed to this huge visual spectacle.
Great. And Timothy, you play the titular character.
I do.
Of Titus Andronicus.
Titus.
You're a kind of a bad guy.
I don't think so.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to get, of course you don't. I'm going to ask you to get closer to the microphone, please.
Okay.
So tell us about Titus and tell us about your take on him.
Well, Titus to me comes across as a very stoic minded character whose whole identity is wrapped around his loyalty and duty to Rome and the principles and ideas thereof. So everything that he does with the hopes of, I guess, inspiring that Roman culture or element in everyone else.
You're a good guy.
I think
misunderstood.
So. That's exactly what it is, right there.
You're doing things for their own good.
Yeah.
I promise.
Yeah. That life was just in the way.
A little bit, just a little bit. If it wasn't for that guy we got elected, that I got elected.
Yeah. There you go. And Allison, tell us about your character.
Yes, I'm playing Tamara, the Queen of the Goths, who is perhaps the villain, if you want to say that for this okay. play. Of course, I think she's very misunderstood.
Also misunderstood, yes.
No, I mean, we're coming off 10 years of war between the Goths and the Romans. And, you know, so who knows what kind of massacres and tragedies. And we've both killed many of each other's children and family members. So it's 10 years of resentment and revenge. And she's returning to Rome captive to Titus. And he does something at the beginning. Is this a spoiler for the show?
Spoiler alert. I'm not sure that we can spoil Shakespeare.
Shakespeare, yeah.
Somebody dies.
Yeah, someone who she cares about dies, is killed as a sacrifice at the beginning. And it's sort of perhaps the last straw, who knows? And that sets the whole rest of the play in motion. So, you know, if you just hadn't done that, maybe you wouldn't have had to have the play happen.
Did you blame me? Just following the rules.
Aaron, tell us about Aaron, and then we're going to hear some of the show.
Yes, Aaron is Tamara's lover. He's been in her camp with the Goths for 10 years, and also kind of a byproduct of the powers that be that Titus and all of the Romans and all of those people are trying to uphold. He doesn't like any of it. He wants to burn it all down and does so with a fiery passion.
Sounds like a pleasant little show. Good
so
thing
technically, I'm the bad guy. Okay.
Let's be honest. It's a story about bad guys.
There you
story
go.
About bad guys.
Well, y'all are going to do a couple of little pieces from the show, correct? Who's starting and who wants to set it up?
All right, fine. Opening monologue.
This is the opening monologue, so the nothing to set
Titus's
up, right?
First monologue.
Okay, great. This is Timothy McKinney doing a monologue from the Stage Austin's production of Titus Andronicus.
Hail Rome, victorious in thy morning weeds. Lo, as the bark that hath discharged her fraught returns with precious lading to the bay from whence at first she weighed her anchorage, cometh Andronicus, bound with laurel boughs, to resalute his country with his tears. Tears of true joy, for his return to Rome.
Awesome. Return to Rome, and then we have a short scene, correct? Yes. Awesome. Do we need to set this up?
This is the first scene that you see between the Queen of Goths, Tamara, and her lover, Aaron.
Great. This is Allison Parenka and Aaron Alexander doing a scene from Titus Andronicus.
My lovely Aaron, wherefore look'st thou sad? When everything doth make a gleeful boast. The green leaves quiver with the cooling wind, and make a checkered shadow on the ground. Under their sweet shade, Aaron, let us sit, and curtained with a council-keeping cave, we may, each wreathed in the other's arms, our pastimes done, possess a golden slumber, whilst hounds and horns and sweet melodious birds be unto us as is a nurse's song of lullaby to bring her babe to sleep.
Madam, though Venus govern your desires, Saturn is dominator over mine. What signifies my deadly standing eye? My silence and my cloudy melancholy? My fleece of woolly hair that now uncurls even as an adder when she doth unroll to do some fatal execution? No, madam, these are no venereal signs. Vengeance is in my heart, death in my hands, blood and revenge are hammering in my head. Hark! Tamara, the empress of my soul, which never hopes more heaven than rest in thee. This is the day of doom for Bassianus. His Philomel must lose her tongue today. Thy sons make pillage of her chastity and wash their hands in Bassianus's blood.
Whew, what beautiful words. You know, I have to say that Council Keeping Cave was my sorority name in college.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's strange that Shakespeare wrote that. Well, we are completely out of
the future, Lisa.
We're completely out of time. You're playing now, correct? When do you close?
Now through the 25th.
The 25th. And where can folks go to get more information about the show?
TheStageAustin.com.
Well, wonderful. So thank you all so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having us. Best wishes on the rest of the run.
Thank you so much.
That was Timothy McKinney, Allison Parenka, Aaron Alexander, and Brian Hensley. And Wendy Zavaleta, all of the Stage Austin's production of Titus Andronicus, playing now through January 25th. For more information, you may visit thestageaustin.com. And I was going to be playing from Jekyll and Hyde, Murder, Murder. But I'm not anymore because we just have time to say goodbye. And we have to tell folks to stand by for Tracy Schultz because he's going to tell us. What is he going to tell us?
What's new.
He's going to tell us what's
new.
On
his show. What's new?
And so stand by for that. And so this was, I was looking for new stuff to do, and this is not a new piece, but I just wanted to do it.
Yeah, Jacques Brel is not a new piece.
No, they have there is a new version that has been released, but I couldn't get a copy of that release.
Like, yeah,
so I decided to go ahead and play this anyway. And it's Marique from Jacques Brel is alive and living in Paris. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Shall I say au revoir?
Au revoir.
Hi, Marique, Marique, the Flanders song burns the sky.